The universe is big. We're small. God may feel far away, but he's not. This is the You're Not Alone podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Dave Andrus. There are many things to like, I suppose, and dislike about spring. You get the allergies and the head colds of spring. But the things I like is when the weather warms up a bit, the warmer air from that cold chill of winter, when you could see things starting to bud out and turn green. Well, even if you can't see, one of the coolest things I think, and I've always loved, even before I lost my sight, were the sound of birds. They'd come back. Growing up in Wisconsin, they'd leave for winter. It was just too cold for them to live up there. Well, there's a few, but very few. And they'd start coming back. And you could hear the geese outside, honk, honk, flying overhead. And then the robins would come. Growing in Wisconsin, that's what the state mostly was covered with, was robins. And hearing them sing in the mornings and at bedtime, their bedtime song, oh, there's just something about it. And I remember a couple times as a kid going camping or just being in the woods. And, oh, at nighttime, the whippoorwills, whip-a-wheel, whip-a-wheel, whip-a-wheel. And that's what they're called, whippoorwills. Or a great horned owl every once in a while. A couple houses ago, we lived in Webster. It's a suburb of St. Louis, and it had this huge tree. I mean, huge. 300 years old, over 100 feet tall, just massive. And there was a horned owl who lived in it. And to hear him, whoo, 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 and it just would echo and reverberate throughout the whole neighborhood. It was awesome. Birds are so cool. And not only do I like them outside, but I like them in the inside, too. You probably hear my finch in the background singing away. Well, I think I've had a bird in my house, golly, for about the last 40 years, maybe more. We've had a singing canary. Oh, that first one, his name was Lefty. He had a left wing that was all black. Otherwise, he was all yellow, a yellow canary. He would sing and sing and sing. And then we've had parakeets and other finches. Somebody gave us two lovebirds. And you know what about lovebirds? They don't love you. They only love each other. And whatever one they will cling to, that's their lover. They hate everything else. And if you try to feed them or something, they're just nasty and picky. I really felt like lovebird was the wrong name for those things. But, and let's see what else we had. Oh, and a dove. We actually had a ringneck dove who lived in the house about 13 years. And she would fly around. We thought it was a boy, and so we called him Jonah. And then found out when she started laying eggs, it was a she. And, there's a love-hate relationship. She really connected with Deb and would follow her everywhere. And me, oh, she'd be nasty to me sometimes. Literally, I'd be walking across the floor and she'd fly right up front of my face. Within inches, I could feel the feathers on my nose. I'm sure she did it just out of spite. Just 'cause she could. Well, today, these days, outside, there's only one bird I really am concerned about, and that is the hawks. Being that we have a little dog, Nelson's not too bad, but the one before that, and right now we're actually babysitting my daughter's dog, Bandit. He's a little, Shih Tzu, Bichon Frise mix. Little tiny thing, probably 8 pounds. And concerned about hawks, because a hawk could grab a little old Bandit. That's what spring does. It brings me that joy of the birds and the songs and trying to identify them. Deb said that she saw an egg from a white-breasted nut hedge. They're really kind of cool. Almost sound like I'm sorry, I can go on and on about birds. But I did then, thinking about birds, decided, what does the Bible have to say? Is there anything significant in the Bible about birds? Well, of course, it says that God made them in creation. And really, then the next reference to birds were on the ark. First, Noah sent out a raven. He came back empty-handed. But when he sent out a dove, and the dove came back with a olive branch. He knew the water was going way down. And then when the dove didn't come back, he knew it was safe to leave the ark. Another place it shows up in the Old Testament is when they left, the people left bondage and slavery in Egypt, and they were going through the desert. They said, "We're hungry, we're thirsty." And so God, every morning, sent a huge flock of quail. They would land on the ground, and people could grab the quail and eat them. It's kind of like squab or a tiny chicken, we would probably say today. And God fed them for 40 years in the desert with this manna, which was the bread, and which is kind of like dew in the morning, and then the quail at night. There are several lists of birds in the Bible. I noticed in Leviticus and Numbers that you're not supposed to eat. They're unclean because they're not good to eat, unhealthy for you to eat. Things like mostly the carrion, what do you call them, carrion? Those that eat other things, eagles and hawks and things like that. That because they're just not, they have too many diseases. So God said, don't eat those. Really, from there, just a reference here or there of birds or ravens in the sky and everything. Until you get to Matthew 6, there's a significant referencing. In 6:26, the Father of Heaven feeds the birds of the air. Look, they don't toil or plant, and yet the Heavenly Father takes care of them. They simply trust God for what they need. We see in the Bible that the Holy Spirit took the form of a dove when he descended on Jesus at baptism. That way everyone could see that the Spirit was coming. A dove is something very gentle. One other one I thought was interesting is Matthew 26, where Jesus said, "Peter, you will deny me three times, and before the rooster crows the third time, you will deny me." And what literally, I was over in the Middle East doing a trip for people who are blind many years ago, and I was in Ethiopia, and there are roosters every couple hours would crow throughout the night. And so when you hear about the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, literally they crow during the night, that you can count the time of the night by how many times the rooster is crowing. Oh, and of course, there's parables with birds where the seed is planted and the birds of the air will come down and take the seed from the rocky ground because it didn't take root and fly away and eat it. I mean, so there's just only passing references to birds, really, except for one, and I haven't mentioned yet. Maybe you were kind of wondering if I would get to it, and that is that of the eagle. Was then, even as it is now, considered a very majestic bird. Back then, it would live up in the cracks of the hills, the people were compared to eagles, how they would think themselves to be safe up in the cracks. I think that was where the sons of Moab and the Moabites. They live up in the high crack mountain cracks, and it was somewhat safe. And you can see how an eagle can swoop down from there and go up, and he's free from most anything that would want to attack him. And there's other verses that speak in the Old Testament, like God is like a mother eagle protecting her young. And so an eagle, if it's on a tear trying to protect its young, it can be vicious with its claws and talons. And the verse that probably you all know comes from Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to quote two verses here. Verse 30. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. 31. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. The key is hoping in the Lord. And the first example is they will soar on like wings of an eagle. And that's the thing about eagles. They actually don't flap and fly as much as they soar. They catch the solar, I think that's what they're called, the solar winds, meaning the winds that are created by the solar heat. And literally, the air is moving up there, and thermal heat. And it actually, they just kind of glide on that, and it moves them along. And so it's effortless. I mean, they don't do any effort whatsoever. The air is carrying them. And that's the point of this verse, the first one anyway, the first reference of it, that will soar like on the wings of an eagle. What's amazing, too, if you saw it or heard of it, every once in a while people will see it. An eagle is just kind of soaring, and all of a sudden he tucks in his wings, and he just drops like a bullet, they say, super fast. He must have seen something on the ground and just shoom, boom, to attack it. And that's what an eagle can do. And that's what we as God's people can do. Soar effortlessly when our hope is in the Lord. And that's really the challenge. Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, young men youths grow tired, but they who hope in the Lord, they shall renew their strength. There are times it is so fatiguing, so difficult. Whether you're having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, bad year, seeming some people have a bad life, that the deck of cards are just thrown against them, and everything seems to be going wrong, and maybe you're there. But when we hope in the Lord, our strength can be renewed. And He lifts us up. Like the wind that lifts up an eagle, He will lift us up. It's no longer our energy. And that's really the key of an eagle. Is the point of it is he has learned how to harness the energy of nature to do the work for him. Well, we can too. When we trust in the Lord, when we put our hope in the Lord. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden our bills are going to be paid. It doesn't mean that our health is going to get better. It doesn't mean that that person will now like us. It doesn't mean that you can fill in the blank. It does mean when we put our hope in the Lord and He renews our strength, that one, we know He's with us and He is the one who will lift us, because we can see further. And that's the other amazing thing about an eagle. You never see an eagle with glasses. Have you noticed that? You ever heard of an eagle wearing glasses? Nope. They've got keen sight. And they can see a long distance. And so that they can see their next meal, even if it's a long ways away. Well, you and I, if we are putting our hope in the Lord, He is lifting us up. And not only do we fly like on the wings of an eagle, but then we get to see things better in a broader perspective. Especially that this life is not the only life we have. Today is not the only experience. Tomorrow is not the only hope that we have to come. We have a lot more in this life and in next. All because our God loves us. All because our God, who created us and the birds of the air, who takes care of the birds of the air, who our God, who even forgave Peter when he denied Jesus the third time when that rooster crowed, forgives you and me too when we trust in Him. When we look to Jesus and what He's done, that's where our hope is. And we know that He has us. Well, this time I'm not going to say in His hands, but on His wings, on His wings. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that the birds of the air of springtime and summer remind us of how you take care of us, that you feed and nourish us. And sometimes it's not what we want, but certainly you do provide. Lord, help us to put our hope and trust in you so that we'll always know and be provided and see that you are with us. Now and into eternity. And Lord, even as you protect the young like a mother eagle, we know that you protect us. And so, Lord, we ask that you renew our strength, for we hope in you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd love to hear from you about birds or anything else. You can write me at dave.andrus, A-N-D-R-U-S, at not-alone.net. Thanks. I'm only an email away. dave.andrus at not-alone.net.